As we've mentioned earlier by Dr. Lawrence, it can be very costly and it takes a lot of time to identify nematode species from a field or to even find out if you have nematode species in that field. And the purpose of this study is to see if you can use the fatty acid analysis or FAME analysis to find the nematodes and identify them in that species at a much faster pace. Previous research with fatty acid analysis is that it's used widespread in microbiology. It can be used in soil microbiology, in plant systems microbiology, even in things such as decay organisms. It can also be used with fungi, and is most widely used in the filamentous fungi to help classify and characterize these fungi, even though you cannot necessarily get a definite identification all the time. We used three nematode species for this experiment. The first was Rhodolincus reniformis, which we covered quite a bit today, the reniform nematode. It was first reported in 1940 in the United States, and it's now been shown to be the most costly cotton pest in Alabama. The adult stage infects with the anterior region into the root tissue, and as was mentioned earlier, creates giant cells to support it. The second species used was Melodogyne incognita. It's the root knot nematode. It's a pathogen of peanuts, corn, cotton, and several other species. The J2 stage of this nematode is the infective stage. It infects the root apical tissues and feeds on the differentiating vascular tissues of that root. After it infects, root galls form around the nematode and embed it into the root tissue. The third species used was Heterodora glycines, or soybean cyst nematode. This is also has a J2 infective stage, but the feeding site is on the cortex tissues of the roots. The female forms cysts on the root tissues and then forms egg masses behind it that spread the eggs and water or whatever. The hypothesis for this experiment is that the fatty acid profiles that we get from this analysis should vary between these three nematode genera, and that these profiles should vary enough to differentiate these three genera. The experimental design that we used was a dilution scheme for the root knot and reniform that ranged from 10,000 nematodes per sample all the way down to a single vermiform nematode. For the soybean cyst, to its larger size, we used a scheme of 25, 10, and 1. Since previous studies is seeing how many we needed to detect it, showed that 25 is adequate for a complete. Numbers after the size of the dilutions were the number of samples that we've got to date for how many that we've run and gotten samples and results from these analyses. For the experimental analysis of the data that we collected, we used SAS and used the step disk procedure to determine what fatty acids that we got were significant to identifying with these genera. After that, we used a CanDisk procedure for a canonical analysis of the fatty acid data for those significant fatty acids. For the isolation of nematode samples, we use samples grown on soybeans for the soybean cyst and DPL-555 for the root knot and reniform. The vermiform life stages were extracted by the combined gravity screening and sucrose flotation, and eggs were extracted by using the 0.6% sodium hypochlorite. The samples were then enumerated by the microscope to get the numbers of nematodes per sample that we needed so we could identify later for what we needed for the samples. For the samples that we needed 1, 10, all the way up to 100 nematodes, those samples were hand-picked by picking out the vermiform life stages from those samples. The other samples were used by dilution from the volumes and the known counts for those nematodes. The samples could then be placed in a minus 80 freezer to be frozen, since it does not affect the fatty acid profiles that we get after the analysis. With the extraction of the fatty acids, we used the procedure that SAS had developed for use with MIDI Systems Sherlock Analysis Program that involves the saponification, methylation, extraction, and base wash. But I also added an additional step where we evaporated off the remaining organic solvent and then reconstituted in 150 microliters of the organic solvent to concentrate the samples. With the FAME analysis that runs from the gas chromatograph and uses fatty acids rated by time to pass through the gas chromatograph column. The column used is an ultra 2 cross-linked 5% phenyl methyl siloxane, which is the standard for the bacterial identifications that they use. This allows the larger and more modified fatty acids to pass it through the column much slower and give them a longer retention time in the column. The concentrations listed for the fatty acids are those of each fatty acid for the samples that we have. As a result of all of these analyses, we've got 45 total fatty acids that we found out of every sample that we used, but those significant, there were 16 significant fatty acids, and those are listed here in bold. For the frequency of the fatty acids, out of the total 45 that we had, this graph is, the Y is the percentage of the fatty acids, the total 45 fatty acids, and the X is the percentages of the samples that we had for the reniform, the root knot, and soybean cysts. As you can see, in this case, we have a total of like 25% of the fatty acids were expressed in between 25 and 49.9% of the reniform nematode samples. This is a mean profile of what you get when you get the FAME analysis back. It's the relative mean concentration over here on the side, and down here is a list of the all of the fatty acids from the analysis that had a value of over 1. The other fatty acids with values beneath 1 did not significantly contribute to profiles. This is a profile for the root knot nematode, and the next is the reniform nematode. As you can see, between the two, there is a slight difference in the expression of the fatty acids. The third, the soybean cyst, also shows a great difference in the profile from either of the other two. It's very high peak here at the 18-1 omega 5 carbon. Now, putting all of these together, you get an idea of what the differences are between these three nematodes and their expression of fatty acids in the samples. Next, we use the canonical analysis of these fatty acids to determine which were significant and differentiate between the soybean cyst, root knot, and reniform. First samples, we use the first canonical variant, which is shown here on the x-axis, and we use this to differentiate between the root knot and soybean cyst and the reniform and soybean cyst. The first fatty acid listed here is found to be nearly perfectly correlated along this x-axis and drives the differentiation between soybean cyst and the other two nematode species. There are also four other fatty acids that we found that helped drive this difference, but they were not as great as the 24-carbon fatty acid. The d-squared values for these, which is the distance here on the x-axis, is 32 for soybean cyst and root knot nematode, and 26 for the reniform soybean cyst. Both of these values are listed as significant at this first canonical variant. There's also noted that 72% of the variance that we found from all of these fatty acid analyses was found in this first canonical variant. Now, to tell the difference between the root knot and the reniform nematode, we use the second canonical variant that described 28% of the difference between all the species analyzed. And we found two fatty acids that were very nearly perfectly correlated along the axis. And this axis here is the second canonical variant. There were also another four fatty acids that helped contribute to this difference and were about the same values as the first two listed, but just slightly lower. The d-squared value for this was 3.8, which is also listed as significant for differentiating between these two nematodes. As a result, we can list the significant peaks for these nematodes that we used, And so in the first canonical variant, we have five fatty acids that we see that are significant. And all five of these are present in much higher concentrations, relatively higher concentrations than the others, except in this fatty acid here, the 15-1 anti-ISO-A, which does not appear in either root knot or reniform nematodes. For the second canonical variant, we have the blue circles here, and they demonstrate the six fatty acids shown here, and demonstrate the differences between the root knot and reniform. And in all of these fatty acids except the 18-1 omega 9 carbon, the reniform nematode has a higher expression of these fatty acids. So in conclusion, fatty acids can be used as a means to differentiate between these three nematode genera, and that certain fatty acids are unique in their expression among these three nematode genera. Possible applications for this analysis would be to identify the nematode species in the soil samples without having to use the microscope work that we usually do. And we could also use the Sherlock analysis software to build a library that we could then use with the Sherlock system and have it manually identify the nematode species at a further date. So none of the microscope work needs to be used. You just run the fatty acid samples and it will tell you what nematode you have present. I'd like to acknowledge the Plant Science Research Center for taking care of all of my plant samples, John McEnroy, the lab technician at Auburn University that runs the gas chromatograph to run these samples, and Dr. Edzard Van Santen, a professor in the Department of Agronomy and Soils, to help me with these statistics, the canonical analysis, and the step disk procedure. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Mac. Okay. Terry?
I guess I'm not quite clear. You're using the fact that this species has to be one species has a higher type than, say, root knot, the lower and reniform is higher for certain fatty acid. You're not really using the ratios or something, but how do you know?
You can use the ratios. On some of these, you can use the ratios.
I guess what I'm saying is we don't know how many nematodes are in there. And so I'm not quite sure if you've got a mixture.
We haven't done the mixtures yet. What's the next step that we've got to just see if you can tell the difference between like a root knot and reniform?
Okay,
but
so you have the same species then. You have 1, 10, 100.
They're all the same species as that sample that we used.
With different quantities.
Right.
So is it additive? So we have 1 versus 10 or 10 times as
much? No. It gets to about a plateau at 250 nematodes per sample.
Okay.
They give this a consistent profile.
Well, then how
we haven't worked on that yet to get the definite ratios to get the numbers for it yet.
Farce.
Another, I guess, obvious question is related to what you just asked. Have you had experiments to look at changes in the profile with starvation? Are some of the fatty acids suspected to be independent of starvation? As you would expect some to change in starvation.
We haven't looked at that yet, but we're working on things in that direction.
I'm for anything that will keep me from looking at under the microscope day in and day out. Any more questions?
We haven't looked at the mixtures to see how they interact. What we have most in the samples that we've used, we've got the ratios are higher in some of the reniform species for certain fatty acids compared to the root knot species, but we haven't looked at the definite mixtures yet to see how they affect each other.
That mixtures, you mean a mixed population?
Yes.
I know for bacteria, they don't try to identify species within a mixture.
It's not.
They
use the database to compare it to the species that they've got to see if it matches. But they also have to use a profile for what they have. They don't use one single fatty acid.
They use a profile.
They use a whole profile. So you can't just use one fatty acid necessarily, but you have the relative concentrations of the different fatty acids to give you a profile, and then that can be used to identify it.
Yes.
All the soybeans were on soybeans. We haven't tried that yet. That's another experiment that we're working on, just to see if there's a difference in their extraction. Right now, if you have to go through and still extract the nematodes with the sucrose flotation and all that, but then you have an additional 3 hours right there where you have to take those samples and extract the fatty acids. But so that counts in the time that you take to extract out the nematodes, make sure how many are in there, and then you have the extra 3 hours to take the samples. But you can take soil samples and it just takes you 3 hours and you can run up there and get the bacterial profiles. And that's what I'm hoping to get it down to, so you just have to use the soil and you've got 3 hours right there.
I would like to make a comment.
Much easier on everybody.
I'll go back to my original question, my statement. Anything to keep me from sticking my head under the microscope? Thank you very much, Nick. I'd like to thank all of our speakers and